tonight's council meeting. My name is Paula Eat, Mayor of Kingborough. It's my pleasure to welcome you all to the meeting on Monday the 18th of November 2024. Welcome to those members who are in the public gallery. It's 5:30pm and I now officially declare the meeting open. I do need to highlight that unfortunately we are unable to live stream the meeting this evening. We've had some equipment failure, so the meeting is still being recorded and will be put on our website. The audio recording will be placed on our website tomorrow. So having said that, I wish to advise that council meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website. Council meetings are also live streamed, usually. Not tonight, but in accordance with Council's policy, I'll ask the CEO to confirm that the audio recording has started.
Yes.
Thank you. I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land, pay my respects to elders past and present, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. Our attendees this evening are myself, Councillor Reek, Councillor Antoli, Councillor Cordova, Councillor Dean, Councillor Fox, Councillor Midgley, and Councillor Street. From our CEO, we have from our staff this evening, we have the CEO, Mr. Stewart, Acting Director of People and Finance, Mr. Jones, Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, Mr. Smee, Director of Engineering Services, Mr. Reeve, our Media and Communications Advisor, Ms. Adams, and our she's not with us this evening. Our Executive Assistant, Mrs. Morton. We have apologies this evening from Councillor Bain and the Deputy Mayor, Councillor Gladewright, and Councillor Richardson is, I'm told, running late, but will be with us shortly, so we will acknowledge his presence when he arrives. I'm on page one, confirmation of minutes, that the minutes of the open session of Council meeting number 20, held on the 4th of November 2024, be confirmed as a true record. Looking for a mover, I've got it in Councillor Fox, and a seconder in Councillor Antoli. All those in favour? Against, motion is carried. Workshops held since the last council meeting. There was a workshop held on the 10th of November 2024 in relation to the strategic plan. I will just acknowledge for the record that Councillor Richardson arrived at 5:32, as did our Director of Environment, Development and Community Services, Ms. Chakuti. That is not late shaming, that's just putting you on the record, both of you, just because I didn't acknowledge that you were here earlier. Declarations of interest. Does any councillor or staff member have a declaration of interest? CEO?
Yes, I declare an interest in that item that's going to be dealt with in closed session tonight.
Thank you. Anything further? Thank you very much. Transfer of agenda items. Is there any item on the agenda that a councillor would like to transfer from open into closed session or closed into open session? Thank you. Our questions without notice from the public. Is there anybody from the public gallery who'd like to ask a question? Even though we know who you both are, if you could state your name and your suburb, please, before asking your question.
Martin Nellen from Huntingfield. Thank you, Mayor. In a council meeting on the 19th of August, in relation to removing the permanent ban on wheeled and ball activities at the Kingborough Community Hub, a motion was carried to request staff to provide a report to councillors to consider at a workshop the alternative options for use of the space by the community. Was the workshop held, and what were the alternative options for use of the space by the community presented by the staff?
I'm looking around at everybody. Ms. Chakuti?
Through you, Mayor. Thank you for the question. Yes, we have held the workshop. Some of the options that we looked at were potentially looking at some, I suppose, including in the budget or some additional funding in next year's budget around creating a dedicated and fit-for-purpose space. Post the workshop, there has been some ideas put forward around potentially holding roller skating or skating events at a space. We haven't been able to make any further progress on that at this stage. But we intend to have something further to come back to council.
I'm just going to rework some of my questions.
Okay.
Does that mean you're the council is looking in future at a plan that will allow a roller skate group like the Hobart Social Skates to book the venue for a roller skating event.
Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor. Sorry, wrong button. Potentially unlikely at that site because it's not fit for purpose in terms of its surface, etc. It is something we might look at another area that is fit for purpose, that we could do something similar to the events that you're talking about in Hobart City. Although I'm not quite across the details of those events, but I do believe that they're run by the skating social group and not Hobart City themselves. But I believe there is a form of partnership there.
Further question?
Yes, thank you. The Tasmanian Government Gazette published the value of a penalty unit for this financial year at $202. Is a parent wearing roller skates while teaching their 5-year-old child to roller skate at the hub at risk of being charged 5 penalty units or $101,010 by the Kingborough Council?
CEO?
Through you, Mayor. Look, the punitive sort of response of fining people for those types of activities is something that I would hope that we would use as a final recourse in modulating people's behaviour around a facility of that type. In saying that, the use of fines to be able to address behaviour that is not in keeping with Council's use of a space is something that is an option for us, but it would be one that we would only go to at the extreme end of a situation.
Thank you. I have another topic I'd like to ask about. It's about regarding the location of the Jack Jumpers High Performance Centre and the relocation of the Hobart Radio Control Car Club. I had a brief chat with one of the members and they informed me they've not found a new home. Which organisation was it that desired that the Jack Jumpers High Performance Centre be located exactly where the Hobart Radio Control Car Club is?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor. Council offered up a number of sites and on assessment by the Department of State Growth, that was deemed to be the most appropriate site for that particular development.
Might I ask
Sure.
what the other sites were?
They were other sites in the vicinity.
Okay.
So all within the sports centre precinct.
What specific steps has the council taken to assist in the rehoming of the Hobart Radio Controlled Car Club?
Before I ask Mr. Smee to go through the specific steps, I will say that we have had our staff actively looking for alternative locations for the club. And I believe the most recent communication that we had with them some time ago was that the CEO wrote and with a list of 3 alternative locations that we had been investigating for them, and asked them to come back to us to respond to, you know, whether these were deemed suitable, and we did not hear anything further from them, which is unfortunate. But Mr. Smee or the CEO can give you more detail on those.
Through you, Mayor, that is correct. We met with the club at the time that the site had been selected as the preferred site. We discussed with them their needs and requested that they come back to us with specific details around the area that they needed and any other requirements, and the club failed to get back to us, and as the Mayor indicated, we've since followed that up in writing without response.
Thank you kindly for your answers.
Thank you. Further questions?
Yes, good evening. My name's David Grace. Just following on the question raised by a minute ago regarding the Hobart Club, I've received an email from them last week saying there has been no communications from the government nor this council.
Yep, and that is incorrect. And I have seen a copy of that email because I believe you forwarded it through, and that did prompt us to follow up again with the club, I think, subsequent to that email. And we have still not had any further communication from them. So we have very clearly said to them that there were three locations that we had been looking at for them, but needed to know more specifics from them about the type of track that they required and the setup, et cetera, et cetera. So that we could continue to work with them, but it's not possible for us to do that if they're not going to make contact with us. And I'm aware they've been in contact with you. I can only suggest that you ask them to get in contact with us and to respond to the emails that we have sent offering to assist them.
Mayor, I'm not a councillor now. I'm only been contacted.
I'm very well aware of that.
I can only point out what I've been sent.
Yep, and that is incorrect.
And you're saying that's incorrect.
It is incorrect, and I have cited the letters that we have written to them, and so I am aware that we have communicated with them and that we have had no response.
Because, Mayor, if I may just point out to you, and I shouldn't have to do this, I know you all, and my colleagues, the councillors, in our annual report that we put out yearly, and that's our council's vision, our vision. Our community is at the heart of everything we do. Everything we do.
Yep. Is there a question, Mr. Grace?
Well, the question is, I dispute that because there are a number of issues relating matters. The Jack Jumpers, as I said, I can only go on, but there's been other things.
Could you please ask a question,
well,
Mr.
the question,
Grace? Because
Mayor,
at the moment you have preamble, and I'd like to get to the question.
I won't preamble because that suits you. I only want to ask a question.
I said preamble. It means you're saying stuff before asking a question. So if you could put the question,
Mayor,
please.
So does others. And I've sat for hours and listened to councillors debate around the table, and the time I was pulled up around the table, I couldn't even
Mr.
ask
Grace.
The question, because, like you, the chair would try and hound
me
down.
Mr. Grace, I am not going to have a debate with you.
I'm
inviting
argue.
You.
I have no time.
Okay. It's not recording you at the moment. So if you would like to be quiet, please.
I am quiet.
What I'm trying to say to you is I am inviting you to ask a question. I'm not trying to stifle you asking a question. You are, as a member of the community now, able to come here and ask questions. Could you please put your question?
Okay. Mayor, back to the Jack Jumpers. When the council advertised in the Mercury that they aimed to lease the land at 10 Kingston View Drive, I questioned about the way it was done because there was no consultation within the community to advise them. And that's why I looked at this, and I'm reminding councillors of their vision, their purpose, and our values. And that's why I raised it. And I'd hope council would always keep that.
I'm just trying to work out the question. When did we advertise, or when will we advertise?
When you did advertise the application for the Jack Jumpers. And I was told by two councillors that you did do consultation. And that wasn't the case because I received a letter from council staff saying the only consultation that was done was the advertising.
Would you like to take this one? I'll ask the CEO to address that.
You can see where I'm coming from, and I'm not getting annoyed, but I'm just saying give me time to put my question.
Well, I'll ask the CEO to answer your question.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Thank you for the question. So essentially when we listed the land for proposed disposal, it was the council's opportunity to seek feedback from the community about any issues or any concerns or any support that the community wanted to raise around the disposal of that land. Just to clarify your point earlier, it wasn't advertised as a lease, it was advertised as council disposing of the land. So that's what was put out in the Mercury, and we then considered the response that came back from any representations, and council then passed a motion to dispose on that of that piece of land.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Manager, did you say it was advertised not for lease? That's what you just said. It wasn't advertised for
lease. Yeah, correct. The word lease was not used in the advertisement.
Well, it was in the advertising on the article on the property. And I can show you a photo of that. So when I get criticised, and I don't mind that, but please do your own homework. You're getting, you know... You are the managers and you're supposed to know.
Okay. So, Mr. Grace, I'd ask you not to reflect on the expertise and professionalism of our staff, please. No, I'm not going to have an argument with you about this. Do you have another question?
And I'm disappointed with the way that the Hobart Club's been treated. Yeah, I do, Mayor.
Thank you. If you could put the question, I'd appreciate it.
Mayor, back in... January 22, Council awarded a contract for Gosway and the wetlands for the roadworks and the wetlands. In fact, Council deleted the works of the wetlands, if I understand. What happened was at the Council meeting on that night, Council authorised the General Manager provide delegation authority to the General Manager to negotiate the inclusion
Mayor,
of...
Point of order.
Thank you. Councillor Street on a point of order.
I don't want to interrupt Mr. Grace, but I feel the need to get in before he releases information that was disclosed in a closed meeting of Council.
That is correct. Councillor Grace... As you would be aware, any tenders or works of that nature are considered in closed session of council. So if you are quoting from the minutes of a closed session of council meeting, then you are disclosing confidential information to the community, which you are not allowed to do so.
I thought it was in open.
No, tenders are never considered in open session.
Okay. So I apologise for that.
Thank you. Do you have a further question?
How do I deal with that?
CEO.
Through you, Mayor. Mr. Grace, if you'd like to, if there's a point you would like to raise outside of the context of the open session here, you're welcome to email through to my office and we'll take on board any concerns that you have or be able to address any questions that you have in an environment where that's applicable for, that's not an open session.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gentleman, but I can't hear you. And again, I come here tonight and we've got no audio. How many years is it going to take or how many managers is it going to take to fix this thing
okay,
in
please,
the chamber?
Okay, Mr. Grace, once again, please do not reflect on the professionalism of our staff and make accusations about their ability to do their roles. The audio is turned up as loud as it can be at the back. We tested it earlier. What the CEO indicated is that if you have a matter that you would like to raise with him, that as it can't be in this situation, raised in open session because it is confidential information from a closed session, then you should email him directly and he will respond to you accordingly.
Yeah, okay. I understand that.
Thank you.
Now, the other question I have is relating to Margate. I raised at a meeting some time back, as you know, we lost the doctors at Snug although I do find now there are two doctors operating at Snug on a temporary basis. I did offer my service to the new general manager if he wanted to talk to me about, because I do know a lot about that development, because I think out of one, I'm probably only one council that's actually supported that development down there. I'm concerned now. I believe it was advertised, and are we likely to see doctors there or what? I mean, it's a great concern to a lot of people down in Margate and Channel area and Bruny Island area. Yeah, have you got the latest on that?
I'll ask the CEO to address that, because he's most recently met with the developer.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. So I can't answer the question about the doctors at Snug. I'll have to take that on notice and come back to you on that one.
Well, the doctor's finished at Snug.
No, at Margate.
Oh, at Margate.
Sorry, at Margate.
At Margate, yeah, see? And you were going to... I offered my time to talk to you on that.
Yeah, so we've been in conversation through you, Mayor. We've been in conversation with the developer who's overseeing the development of that site. They're going through final stages of that process with our development services. We're ironing out the final details there. We would like to think that will be able to... that development will be finalised in the near future to be able to bring in medical services there. But we'll continue to work through that process directly with the developer.
Is there a further question?
Yes, I do. The bus stop here in Channel Highway, where were we at with that?
So we have been waiting for a number of weeks now for some revised plans to come through from the Department of State Growth. We've now received those. Those plans are to do some minor readjustment to the curb, and that will be done as soon as we can get the contractors to complete that work, but we can't give an end date at the moment.
So it will be used as a bus stop?
Yes, it will.
And the underpass at Summerlees Road, where are we at with that now?
Yep, we're at the point of backfilling now that the actual underpass has gone in. And we've been giving regular updates to the community through social media, and we are on track with the revised date of around mid-December at this point, providing we have no adverse weather events. But the road should be open by then, but we will take it on a week-by-week basis.
Yeah, thank you. There was another one. Mayor, you said you would work with me regarding the rezoning. I noted you and other mayors the other day criticising the planning system. I don't know if it's ours or the state one. Where are we at? I've been 3, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 20 years I've been trying to get land rezoned in Snug.
So that is part of the regional land use strategies that are 15 years have been in existence for 15 years, and we need to have updated. That is work that the state government needs to do. And Southern Councils have been working proactively with the state government on updating that strategy, because instead of them doing the work, they basically lobbed it on Southern Councils. So that work is underway at the moment. The matter I was talking about the other day with the other three Greater Hobart mayors was in relation to the development assessment panels, which the state government is putting legislation through Parliament this week, which would fundamentally change the planning processes and allow developers to have their development assessed by a development assessment panel when they want to, for various reasons, at any stage during the process. And so we quite rightly joined together to express our concern about that and the lack of consultation that the state government undertook. We're waiting to see whether that legislation is introduced into Parliament this week.
Well, I hear it is going to be. and I believe it's going to be passed. So,
well, I can assure you that there have been many councils who have been lobbying various people in both the lower and upper houses of Parliament. The Local Government Association of Tasmania has been briefing members of Parliament, and myself this morning I went to see representatives of the Labor Party on behalf of the Local Government Association to express our concerns with what is fundamentally flawed legislation at this stage. We understand they're making some minor changes to the bill, but we haven't seen that as yet.
I wouldn't hold your breath, because I don't think any party knows what they're doing. To be quite frank, I've never seen it so low in Tasmania. To be quite frank, I think school kids could run the place better. But anyway, that's my opinion.
Thank you.
But I am disappointed about the planning. I thought, well, why? It just went through council here a couple of months ago. And I believe that this council has dragged feet on changing over to the new planning.
No, sorry, Mr. Grace, that is not correct. The Kingborough Council has waited 4 years for the Tasmanian Planning Commission to be in a position to assess our transition to the statewide planning scheme. We lodged our documents 4 years ago, we are one of only three councils that are yet to transition to the statewide planning scheme, and we can only assume that they left ours to the very end because of the size of it and the number of properties. But we are going through that process at the moment. We're out for public consultation, and we hope to have we're now partway through that regulated process, and we have timeframes we have to meet, and we hope to be on the scheme by June next year. But we are very much in the hands of the state government when it comes to whether that can be achieved or not. But we are fulfilling our end for the processes that we've had to go through.
But where will that leave us with the issue that I've been raising now for 5 years, 20 years really, since this Greater Hobart deal came through and stopped the development south of Kingston?
So the issues that you're raising are more related to the Southern Regional Land Use strategy.
Yes.
And that is what is that has been in place for 15 years, and in that time, of course, there's been significant growth all around the state, but particularly in Kingborough, and the strategy has not kept up to date with the growth that has occurred, and particularly on those outer areas of the main parts of Kingston, such as Margate. So we fully appreciate that, and we have been encouraging the state government to put more resources into being able to expedite that work. We feel like it's probably about 12 months away now, or hopefully by middle of next year, that process is complete as well. But it has been a source of frustration for all councils. The southern councils, because we've had a good team of people working on it, we are far more advanced than the councils in the north and the northwest, who are left to do it themselves as well. So we will probably have the southern strategy reviewed and in place by middle of next year, but dependent on the state government.
Yeah, well, you hear on the news most night, we want houses, we want houses. Of course we want houses, but how can we build houses? Are my grandchildren, great-grandchildren going to be told and dictated by a Hitler government or whatever we are we, because we're not freedom anymore? We're going to be told where we can build. I'm sorry if I used the wrong word there, but I'm saying we are not. Our children, our grandchildren, haven't got the freedom now, because the only land that will come available under this legislation is going to be Huntingfield.
Councillor Midgley, sorry.
Sorry, through you, Mayor. Just a point of order, Mr. Grace. It's really great hearing your interest in so many things, but it's not a question. If you just start, your comment with a question, as per the meeting regulation guidelines.
I finished anyway, because I just wanted to check.
Thank you.
Now, the only other one question, Mayor, I raised when the General Manager first took office. I said, is he going to do a report or give us a summary on what he proposes to do as our new general manager in 90 days, 100 days. Well, in actual fact, there's a document here where the general managers have always done it.
Thank you. Right. Thank you very much for our questions. We're now on page 2, questions on notice from the public. There were 2 from Ms. Winter, the first in relation to landscape values with a response from Ms. Tyler Moore, the second in relation to the statewide planning scheme with a response from Mr. Stander. Takes us to page 5, questions without notice from councillors. Does any councillor have a question without notice? No, thank you.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry, Councillor Dean.
I thought just while that discussion was happening, I thought it, to help Mr. Grace and residents, I'm going to try and frame this as a question just around the medical health centre in Margate. Was it possible, CEO, or sorry, through you, Mayor, was it possible that in the meeting with the developer that they confirmed that there was the GP collective moving into the top floor of the Margate the Margate development, and that there will be up to 15 consulting rooms leased out to doctors to service the patients of the Snug and lower channel, southern channel area?
The CEO.
Yes, thank you for the question, Councillor Dean. I can confirm that the developer did confirm that they will be working towards that as an outcome for the Margate community.
And is it
working towards it, not finalised?
And is it possible that, is it true that they will be accepting patients from the Snug medical practice?
I don't think we can go into that.
Yeah, through you, Mayor, I don't know the detailed operations behind that, but I know as they have new medical practitioners coming in, that's typically a time when they have capacity within medical services to take on patients from other places.
All right. I'll just implore residents on the 12th of August, the Kimbra Chronicle did report and confirm all those things. So any residents out there want more information, they can go seek that.
Thank you. Questions on notice from councillors. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no questions on notice from councillors. Petitions still being actioned, there are no petitions still being actioned. And at the time the agenda was compiled, no petitions had been received. Takes us to officers' reports to council. Petition, pedestrian and accessible crossing to Meredith's Orchard, with a recommendation on page 7. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder. I've got a mover in Councillor Antoli, a seconder in Councillor Cordova. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. It's dear to my heart because I am a resident in the area. So we're tabling today a petition with about 156 signatures requesting Council to expedite the installation of a pedestrian and accessible crossing on the Channel Highway linking the Margate Snug Shared Path to Meredith's Orchard. It's basically a crossing that allows people to get from one side of the road to Meredith's. The actual shop there as well. And Council has included the crossing in the Crescent Drive reconstruction project with detailed design planned for this upcoming year. The crossing will be designed this year with construction funding pursued in future years, which I don't think will make the locals very happy. It's recommended, the Council report recommends that Council proceed with the design and inform the petition organising that organiser that funding will be sought after the design is completed because we have other competing priorities. And if I may ask a question based on that, please, Mayor.
Yes.
Given that this, and I think as a council officer, I understand that we don't want to be organised or driven by petition, but this seems to be something that's quite popular in the area. If funding for the design is approved next year, what is the likelihood that we would need to see, because there is indication in the report that we would need extra funding above and beyond Council's own resources because it would be a joint project with DSG, what's the likelihood that we will get funding sooner rather than later? Do we have any word from DSG that this is a priority to them as well?
Mr. Reeve, could you assist us with that, please?
Through you, Mayor. The design's actually a current year project, so we will incorporate this as part of the Crescent Drive design for this year. what it does mean is that it'll be then a future consideration once we get a better handle on the costs associated with putting in a footpath link and a paved refuge across Channel Highway, as to what that might be for, to inform, I guess, some future budgets. In terms of DSG, they've obviously done a fair bit of work in the Margate area, which was alluded to in the Margate Master Plan there, that talked about some pedestrian crossings through the central township, and that's, I guess, where their priorities actually sit. So this would be a lesser priority. Doesn't necessarily preclude their funding being available at some stage in terms of actually this particular linkage, but I guess it's just not sitting on their main priorities at this stage.
If I may?
Yep, Councillor.
So this section of road is a Department of State growth jurisdiction, so Council, it does not have the authority to just willy-nilly put a crossing, regardless of what the petitioners would desire.
Unfortunately, yes, and that's been our whole issue with, you know, Snug, Margate, other parts of Margate, and other parts of the Channel Highway.
So expectation management in our response, I think, would definitely be advised. If that would be the only thing I'd add, that's not a question. But thanks for... I'll yield to you, Mayor, on that.
Thank you. Any further contributions? No? I'm going to put the recommendation moved by Councillor Antoli, seconded by Councillor Cordova. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. Takes us to page 8, Memorials Policy, with a recommendation on page 9. Looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved Councillor Dean, seconded Councillor Fox. Councillor Dean.
Thank you, Mayor. The purpose of this report is to review Council's Memorials Policy. It was developed back in 2020 to provide a framework for dealing with community requests for the installation of memorials in public open spaces. Staff have done a review of the policy. There is one proposed amendment, being the deletion of the requirement for an applicant to wait 12 months from the date of passing, from the passing of a loved one, before applying to council to have a memorial installed. And it absolutely makes sense, as 4.3 of the report points out. Experience has shown that applicants generally want to apply much sooner than this, with the knowledge that a memorial will be installed, assisting with the grieving process. So a good revision, and I'm happy to move the report as read.
Thank you, Councillor Dean. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. I have no issues with the anything in the report. Just a question in terms of historical knowledge. Why did we in the past have that 12-month moratorium? Does anyone know?
I don't know. Oh, Mr Smead might know.
Through you, Mayor, it was... based on a belief that it was a good idea to have a bit of a cooling off period so that applicants weren't applying when they're in a heightened state of grief and, whether they may be making a knee-jerk reaction in relation to applying for a memorial. So the 12-month waiting period was seen as just allowing a bit of time for reflection as to whether they really wanted to do it. But as indicated in the report, it's kind of had the opposite effect, that people apply and then they get told, no, you've got to wait 12 months, and it kind of annoys them more than placates them.
Yep. Okay. Sounds like sound logic. I'm definitely happy to support the report and the changes.
Thank you. Councillor Fox.
Just a question on page 13, item 6.5. It says council may undertake community consultation in relation to memorial requests where it's deemed necessary. I'd like a bit of an explanation how that would be triggered. The wording's a bit difficult for me to understand.
It probably relates to the siting or the magnitude or whatever is proposed, but Mr. Smee, I'm sure,
and the word,
has an answer.
The fact that it's bespoke, or, you know, a lot of
most
them would
of them
be
are
bespoke.
Park benches.
Yeah.
Mr. Smee.
Thank you, Mayor. Through you, this policy doesn't just cover park benches or picnic tables. It could be a memorial for a particular event, or it could be some sort of a sculpture. So that particular clause is just flagging the fact that in certain circumstances, there may be a requirement to do some public consultation, particularly, as the Mayor indicated, you know, if we're talking about a larger installation and the applicant has a particular desire for it to go in a prominent public place. I'm much like the RSL Memorial down on Kingston Beach, for example.
Any further contributions? Councillor Dean, did you want to sum up? No? Thank you very much. I'm going to put the recommendation then, moved by Councillor Dean, seconded by Councillor Fox. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Takes us to page 21 with a recommendation on the following page, election caretaker period policy. Looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Fox, seconded Councillor Midgley. Councillor Fox.
I guess it's to do with if we're in the election caretaker period, that we don't make huge expenses and that we don't act inappropriately. Basically, that's what they're trying. This report is trying to encourage. It's worked well in the past, and I think there are no major changes here. So. I think it's a good idea.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Cordova.
Just a question about the other councils around Tasmania. What are the other councils doing, and are we doing better or worse than them in terms of what the provisions that we put into the caretaker policy? So that's the first element of my question. Yep. Like, what's the precedent elsewhere?
So we're doing better. I think we're one of the first ones to implement a policy. This has been on the state government's agenda for some time, and I did try to follow up today and find out via LGAT where it sits on the government's legislative agenda, because they did, or the previous Minister for Local Government had foreshadowed that it was the government's intention to introduce caretaker periods for local government. We haven't heard anything more lately about that, and when I say lately, I say, you know, within the last 12 to 18 months since we've had ours in place. So, but I would be hopeful, given the previous commitments there, that there would be a statewide policy that is implemented at some stage in the future.
Thank you. And so if it's the case that the caretaker provisions, like, we've kind of moved first before LGAT was able to successfully lobby the state government to take action, is that fair to say that it's a pretty good precedent to show that Kingborough Council can lead, you know, with respect to donations disclosure or, you know, those kind of register of interest things? So the question is, in this case, we have led by getting caretaker provisions faster than the state got them. Should we therefore then use that exact example for donations disclosure and register of interests, like publicising our register of interests, for example?
I think we already do. Our register of interests is available for public inspection if required.
Is that true?
I believe, yes. Yep. Mr. Smee is nodding vigorously.
Oh, it's just not on the website, yep. I guess. It's not on the website.
People need to come in and inspect it, and we have had that happen in the past. I remember a few years ago that there was a journalist who came in to inspect it, but that is publicly available information.
Thank you. And my final question on this is about responding to need. And this is really just for my edification, but I think it's important when we do have policies to make sure that they're there for a good reason. And so the reason that I've heard so far is just that it's commonly accepted good practice to have these caretaker provisions. But my question is, was that responding to an actual need, where there were occasions in Tasmania where decisions were being made just before an election that were stifling a new council? Like, is there any precedent for why we needed these in the first place?
Look, my recollection from when this became a larger statewide issue is that there had been examples where had been major decisions made that locked councils in during the election period. And, for example, the appointment of a general manager, which I believe may have happened in the past, where an outgoing council has effectively appointed a general manager rather than an acting one. That's obviously a very large decision for a council to make, and would be best left to the incoming council, whatever that makeup is after the election. And I understand that there have been historically some examples where it was deemed necessary that this should be enacted, but I couldn't and wouldn't want to name those councils. I'm not aware of it ever. You know, I think Kingborough can always be very proud of the fact that we've had very good governance practices over many, many years, and I can't recall of any incident where we may have veered close to breaching this, but I think it's a safeguard that all councils should be putting in place, and particularly about smaller ones who don't have that rigour around their day-to-day governance, perhaps.
Thank you. Just my final question on this topic is about thinking of the example of Kingston Park and a major development that has very long lead times and very long involvements, and sometimes parameters change and negotiations change. And I'm thinking of this in the context of my favourite thing to talk about, an aquatic centre for Kingbro. Picture this. Is there ever a situation that could occur where decisions around large infrastructure projects like Kingston Park, which kind of bleed out over many years, can those kind of projects be stifled or constrained by an election caretaker? Okay.
Give us a practical example, because I'm struggling to put that into context at the moment.
So the Kingbro Council has a relationship that took place with Traders in Purple in order to develop the Kingston Park precinct.
Yep.
Now, those parameters have changed and they've negotiated, and the various different aspects of the stages of the development changed over time. Those processes kind of plodded along, irrespective. Those processes were oblivious to whether an election was called or not. So is there a case that could take place where, let's say Kingston Park was, a negotiation had to happen about whether we move stage 3 to stage 4, whatever the case may be, then the election gets called and then we have to close the drawer, lock the drawer and say, no, we're not going to continue this process that we're undertaking. We're not going to do any more negotiations. We're going to park this, put everything on ice because we're in an election caretaker period. So that didn't happen with Kingston Park, but what if we got in principle support from the federal or state government for funding an aquatic centre, and then an election is coming around the corner and we have to put everything on ice and we can't do our aquatic centre, or we can't even progress a high performance centre or an aquatic centre because of these election caretaker provisions?
Thoughts, anybody? CEO?
Through you, Mayor. In a situation like that, the election caretaker period and the policy here allows for continuity of activity that's planned, right? So, you know, anything that's in the work program, for example, can continue on under this policy because they're decisions that have previously been made. If the situation that you're envisaging did occur, I would see that staff would be in a position to continue the negotiations with the external party through that caretaker period, with a view that that any formal decisions that were required from council would be able to be made once the new council was brought together.
Great, thank you. So through you, Mayor, if I'm understanding the CEO's observation correctly, and I realise this is a hypothetical, so we can't really put too much certainty on anything, but in the context of, we know that there's an election coming up in October 2026, even if the federal or state government did promise us in late September of 2026 that they'll give us $60 million for an aquatic centre, we wouldn't have to turn that down because of an election caretaker policy. We could still accept grant money and accept big projects like an aquatic centre funding. If they were to offer us that money during that window, we could still do the business of council, even though there's an election caretaker policy. We could accept that grant.
I don't know you'd sign a grant deed, though. That's probably where I'd get
so
with it.
So we couldn't sign it. So in that case, So, but you would hope, yes.
Because it would be signing a commitment.
Yeah. So we couldn't do it. We couldn't do Kingston Park, or we couldn't do an aquatic centre, or we couldn't do a high-performance centre.
Well, you've got to take into consideration what the CEO said about, you know, business as usual, if there's business that carries on. I mean, look, caretaker provisions apply in both state and federal governments, and they still manage to continue the business whilst in those caretaker periods. But it's about, I think, major strategic decisions and major investments,
like an aquatic centre,
that you can't, you know, commit within that 4 to 6 week. We're essentially talking about a 4 week period or a 5 week period from when the writs are issued.
Yeah.
So we're talking about 5 weeks where you can't sign up to anything. Do you want to add anything to that, CEO?
Yeah, through you, Mayor, and thank you for raising the point around the time frame there. I would suggest that if there was a really significant project of this sort of ilk, then there would be a number of pieces of planning that would have gone into it in advance, and so that would have been a documented process that would be flowing through. And then if as per your example, there was a commitment of that sort of magnitude from the government, then I would suggest we would be able to negotiate through that time period, and it wouldn't cause that delay wouldn't be the impediment to being able to accept that sort of grant money for a significant project.
Thank you. That's comforting. I'll just conclude my remarks by saying I always think it's important to have a need before you do something. However, I get that the theory of good governance is very well established, and there's many people who are advocating for election caretaker policies. Personally, I'm always concerned about stifling the democratic, the principle of democratic, you know, people vote the elected representatives in to do a job, and that job shouldn't start or stop at any particular time whilst they're elected. They should be doing their job. So I'm kind of on the fence around this, but I'm interested to hear what other people think.
Thank you. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor.
In a loud voice, I have to remind you.
In a loud voice. Well, nobody's watching tonight, so...
No, but they'll only have the listening to go by, you see. So you and Councillor Dean need to be nice and clear.
Mayor, this is the renewal of a policy that was first adopted in 2021. Now, I do recall... somewhat the genesis of this. It was a notice of motion that was put forward by Deputy Mayor Westwood at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason why it was put forward, and I wasn't actually present for the meeting at which that notice of motion was considered, but part of the reason it was put forward, and part of the reason I supported the eventual policy at the time, was that just prior to the 2018 election, within one or two meetings of the 2018 election, the previous council appointed the developer for Kingston Park. It was within two or three weeks of an election that the developer of Kingston Park was appointed by the outgoing council. Now, as I recall, and I accept that recollections may differ, I don't believe that there was a time impediment on that decision. And that is exactly the reason why I support the election caretaker period policy, for those decisions in which there isn't a time impediment, and which are major decisions of council, which shouldn't be made on the death knell of council being elected. So as I recall, that was the genesis of the policy originally. I think that concern still remains. I accept that there may be situations in which continuity of council requires that a decision be made, but I think what the policy does is it puts the onus back on the council of the day to make the case to the community for why that situation exists, and puts it forefront of mind that council shouldn't be making major decisions on the death knell of an election period. So that's why I think it's still appropriate, and while I'll be supporting the policy's renewal.
Thank you, Councillor Street. Any further contributions? Councillor Fox, did you want to sum up?
No, it's good to hear the debate. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to put the recommendation now. Moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Takes us to page 31, appointment of members to council special committees, with the recommendation on page 32. Looking for a mover and a seconder. Got a mover in Councillor Dean, a seconder in Councillor Midgley. Councillor Dean.
Thanks, Mayor. Purpose of the report is to recommend to council the appointment of members to the special committees that manage our fantastic community halls. The appointment is for another 2 years. The report outlines the nine halls in which they manage. The discussion in the report highlights a couple of things. I just wanted to note that it's not just the usual kind of experience types. It's good to see that there are some new people that have put their name forward as part of the management committees, and also the fact that once again, these are people that are volunteering their time, and we're very grateful for the work that they do. And so the report outlines the 9 committees, and names are listed. I'm very happy to move this report as read. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much. Any further contributions? Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a brief word to sincerely thank everybody that gets involved and gives up their time, volunteers for this community, for the betterment of the community and that public service. We all owe them an enormous debt of gratitude, and I just want to put on the record my sincere thanks to all those people who are taking part in their community. And I just wanted to briefly reflect on how important these places of community meeting are and how essential they are for engendering this sense of community identity and community spirit. The reason why we have proud Kingborough residents who like this place and who care about it and who are going to take care of it and who are going to take care of each other is because we have these community spaces and community members who will give up their time and their passion and their expertise to help each other out. So I just think it's one of those things, it's a great privilege to be on the council and get to see all of those aspects, and Kingborough really is resplendent with people who are helping each other out, and this is just one fine example. So I take my hat off to all the people who are getting involved. Thanks.
Thank you. I echo those comments wholeheartedly. Any further discussion? Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd also like to thank the good people of the community who are supporting us and contributing. A lot of good names in there, people I know and have worked with, so it's great to see them all pitching in. Some even retired and they're still working. Fantastic. We did receive a list of committee members from the CEO's office during the week. Is that list any different than what we see presented before us? No. Okay, I wasn't too sure why we got a separate list,
I didn't
and it's
know.
Here in the notes, so I wasn't. No. I was a bit confused.
It's one the background list was information on them.
Okay, it was.
Yep.
Okay, maybe that's what it was,
because
there
was no need to publicise that.
Good point, yep. Yes. Okay, thank you very much.
Any further discussions? Councillor Dean, you don't want to sum up? No. I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Dean, seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Takes us to page 34, financial report for October 2024, with a recommendation on the following page. Looking for a mover and a seconder, Councillor Richardson. And a seconder, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Richardson.
Thank you. In the absence of Councillor Bain, I thought I would try and fill his shoes.
It's lovely to hear from you, Councillor Richardson.
Thank you. So we're looking at the report, the financial report from October. The highlights are rates are over budget, as in rates received are over budget, statutory fees are over budget, user fees are over budget, grants received are over budget, reimbursements are under budget, which means there's less money out the door, which means more money in our pocket. Expenditure-wise, employee costs are up, but you know, half of that is due to leave accruals. Materials and services are under budget. Depreciation is under budget. We've got an over budget on profit of sale and assets, and then grants are over budget. So we've had an improvement in our overall position at the end of this month, and basically a favourable result of about $800,000 to budget. So can I ask a question off the back of that?
Yes.
Okay,
absolutely.
Cool. So with all of those fantastic positive results, are we looking at this as a positive blip? Is this a trend that we're likely to see that is going to see us end up in a significantly better position at the end of the financial year than we first forecast?
Mr. Jones.
Through you, Mayor. The intention is to do a full review of all the accounts and present a mid-year review, so we'll be in a full position to pass judgment at that stage. Yes, some of them are looking like they will be positive and it'll be good news. I think you have to put it in perspective that at the moment the budget is a $2.9 million deficit. So we're only talking a small amount and we will still be left with quite a sizeable deficit, but yes, it's likely to be better than we originally budgeted. So I'm expecting there'll be some good news. It's a bit hard to anticipate how many development applications, how many supplementary rates we're going to get, and that's why we're reluctant to bank the gain at this early stage until we really know how it's going to be for the full year, because we've had many times when the back end of the year, the last 4 months, we don't get any supplementary rates or something like that, and so the favourable result disappears rapidly. But generally, we're better, going better than we budgeted, which is good.
Any further questions, Councillor Richardson, Councillor Dean, and then Councillor Antoli?
Just a follow-up, thank you, to the summary, Councillor Richardson. The follow-up question just on the mid-year review, when might Council expect to see that report?
Mr Jones.
Through you, Mayor. The CEO may be in a better position to present. My understanding is it'll be in January, but I wouldn't like to commit for Mr Spinks, who's not here.
The CEO.
Yeah, thank you. Through you, Mayor. So the intent is early in the new year we'll be bringing that mid-year review back to councillors to, I guess, look at the entire financial position that we're in, consider any, forecast changes that we'll make, and also look at the capital program as well at the same time.
Councillor Antoli and then Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you to Councillor Richardson for his excellent review. Not as good as Councillor Bain, but not bad. I do have an issue, Mayor, that we don't seem to see the pendulum moving at all in terms of review on the end-of-year forecast. I think it's fair enough that we get a snapshot of that more than just halfway through the year. And I'm wondering if, and I don't know if this is a notice of motion, I hope it doesn't have to be, but it'd be nice if we could get a snapshot at the half-year mark, but also the halfway point of every half-year mark, so every quarter. It would be really helpful if we could get that reviewed. And I don't expect our dear friends in the accounting department to be stressed out on making it every month, but I do think that waiting halfway through the year is not acceptable to myself and I would say some of my peers. And could I get a response from the CEO on that?
CEO.
Yeah, thank you, and through you, Mayor. I think good practice would be that we are making reforecasts more regularly than on the half-year point. So I agree with that premise. I think one of the things that I'm very keen to see us do more of is thinking in setting our budgets for the year about appropriate phasing of both income and expenditure, which will make it a much easier task for us to have confidence about variances that we're seeing through the year and whether or not they'll result in end-of-year variances, and that will allow us to become more effective in our forecasting and reforecasting about end-of-year result. So that's an area of continuous improvement that I'm looking to embed. Alongside that comes more accountability through the organisation for managing budgets across departments, which is an operational issue for me to manage, but it's important that you're aware of those sort of differences. But I guess to round that comment out, I agree that Council should be receiving forecast changes on a more regular basis, and that's something we'll look to bring into place for you.
Thank you. May I ask one more?
Yes, Councillor Antoli.
Through you, Mayor, based on that very helpful support, when would be the first next forecast revision, do you think? When should we expect one?
CEO.
Through you, Mayor. Unfortunately, I think it is that mid-year review point now, given we are coming towards the end of November. Realistically, for us to be able to pull that together as a process, it will be at that mid-year review point. But leading forward from that position, I would like us to be bringing you reforecasts more often.
Mm-hmm. So early January?
Correct.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry. Thanks, Mayor.
Mr Jones, have you got something to add?
Yes, if I could just add some specifics to that. It's not that we're not reforecasting, it's just a case of confidence in telling you whether we should reforecast. If we go through the main items there, rates for instance, we've got no reason at this stage to say that the rates will maintain for the rest of the year at the rates that we budgeted for in supplementary rates. So we can't say at this stage that we'll be 150,000 better at year end. That's why we're not saying it. if we look at statutory fees and fines, it's one application that we got that caused that. Yes, we could change the forecast. What happens if we were below budget for the rest of the year? We'd be going up and down all the time. We haven't got a high level of confidence that all of these things are going to be much better than budget. If we did, then we'd reflect that. The mid-year review will go into a lot more detail, and at that stage we'll give you the pros and cons as to why we've made various things. But I think it would be premature to say, you know, user fees. We know the sports centre is always quiet over December, January, February. So it's premature to say that we're going to be above budget there and find that we have a quieter Christmas period. So it's not that we're not doing it. We are looking at it, but we don't have the level of confidence to change that there'll be a major change for year end at this stage.
Councillor Antolli.
Thanks, Mayor. I appreciate that, Mr. Jones, and I've always appreciated your thoroughness, and every dealing I've had with you is always for that accuracy. But as directors, we can cope with some of the ups and downs that may happen. We'll understand. It does help us understand the trend. And I know that if you give me a figure, I'm sure it's very confident that that figure is accurate, but I'm very comfortable with the fact that, you know, I know how it works. There are months when you have large pools of money coming in and months when they come out, and that will obviously affect the forecast. But obviously any good CFO is always looking at the cash flow management and the end of year forecast, and as directors we can cope if one month is a bit lumpy, because then it creates a discussion, why is it lumpy? And then you educate us in that discussion, you educate the community in that discussion, but for us to see all these positives and then no change in the forecast, it's a bit jarring, but I do appreciate the CEO's assurance that we'll go for something that's a little bit more informative going forward. That makes me more than happy.
Thank you. Whoops. Any further contributions? Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Just checking about the long-term financial plan. Will that be looked at during the mid-year review or next year's budget?
CEO.
So, through you, Mayor. So there's work happening at the moment by staff on the long-term financial plan. So models are being pulled together. At the moment, we're considering some of the scenarios around that so that when we come to council, that we can have a more
robust
conversation. Thank you, Mayor. we have a workshop booked with you on the 9th of December to bring the start of that conversation to bear, so that's imminent.
Any further discussion? Councillor Richardson, I'm assuming you don't want to sum up? Oh, thank you. I'm going to put the recommendation moved by Councillor Richardson, seconded by Councillor Cordova. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried. Takes us to page 56, appendices, with a recommendation on the same page. Looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Got a mover in Councillor Cordova, seconder in Councillor Antolli. Any questions or discussion? Councillor Cordova and then Councillor Antolli, then Councillor Richardson.
Thank you, Mayor. Two questions on page.
Buckle and there up. Goes the
Get
early
ready.
Night.
Strap in. On the 21st of October, this relates to Appendix F, Chief Executive's Office's activities.
Yep.
21st of October, the Kingborough Council and Huon Valley Municipal Emergency Management Committee meeting.
Mm-hmm.
My question on these two meetings is, number one, what is the outlook for the coming summer? I've looked at the Australian Seasonal Bushfire Outlook for spring, which said that Tasmania... My question is, what's the outlook and for summer? That's the first element of this question.
Next
question. Through you, Mayor. So we do have a workshop coming up on emergency management, but in terms of directly responding to your question and noting that I'm not the expert in this space, it was noted that despite recent rainfall, that there's still a level of dryness within the top layer of the surface soil, and therefore there is I guess, a level of concern about the impact that that would have if there was a dry and hot summer, especially noting the impact of wind. So I'm not going to try and to be the person providing that forecast or certainly reiterating it, but that was one thing that I picked up from the discussions during that meeting.
Thank you. And through you, Mayor, the second element of this question is, how well prepared does the Council feel we are as an organisation, and probably more importantly, in our observations of community readiness to deal with an emergency situation, do we feel like the Kingborough community is well prepared?
CEO.
Yeah, through you, Mayor, and I might also pass this question on to the Director of Environment, Development and Community to add anything. I believe the Kingborough Municipal Area is relatively well prepared. Certainly Kingborough Council, I believe, is at the good end of practice around our management and preparedness for emergency events. We not only have the Emergency Management Committee that meets, but additionally we recently ran a desktop exercise to be able to simulate what a bushfire response would look like. That was done in conjunction with the TFS and with SES as well. So there's a number of those types of exercises that we undertake as a council to make sure that we're ready to be able to respond if and when emergency occurs. Now, emergency is not necessarily a bushfire, but in this particular case, this last exercise was simulating a bushfire event.
Thank you. Final question about a different topic, Mayor. The 29th of October Hobart Ferry Steering Committee meeting. My question is, when do we get our ferries?
Through you, Mayor. So, as you will likely know, there's three ferry terminals being developed in the current phase of development. The ferry terminal at Kingston Beach is not one of those terminals. In saying that, there's, I guess, an intent to see that program continue. At the moment, we're looking at what the ongoing funding into the program looks like. Initially, there was $20 million allocated to ferry terminal development from the federal government to the Greater Hobart Councils. In addition, the state government has allocated $20 million to the program as well. Through the steering group, we're talking with the Department of State Growth about just how that that investment from the state can complement the investment that was received from the federal government. It's fair to say that isn't confirmed exactly how that those funds would be expended, but one option is that could help in terms of the initial sort of feasibility, detailed design, etc., for what Kingston Beach may hold, and I'm certainly not saying that's a foregone conclusion. Additionally, we're looking at other sources of funding that may come in to be able to drive the phase two of the ferry development program.
Councillor Richard... I beg your pardon. I had Councillor Antoli next, and then...
No,
I had Councillor Richardson next.
Thank you. Just looking at the planning report, is it? Development Services Quarterly Report. There's a graph on page 63 that I just wanted to ask a couple of questions about. And the first one being, the applications over each month seem to be cumulative in that data, as opposed to a point in, an amount per month. Is that, so the first question with that is that how that this is usually presented, this data?
Ms. Chakuti. Through you, Mayor. I believe so, and I believe this is how we report it externally to state agencies as well.
Okay.
But there would be an opportunity to break it down by applications received per month. Would be easy to do.
Yeah, I just think it'd give a bit more shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess just to note, which I'm sure we as our staff are well aware of, that I modelled the same data statewide to see if there are any similar or different trends, and it is very similar. The data statewide comes out on a graph very, very similar. So I guess the question to go on after that is, you know, given that every year for the last 5 years approvals have dropped, is the industry expecting that that will drop again next year, or is it too early to tell?
Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor. I think it would be a bit simplistic to say they have dropped for the last 5 years. So year to date, we're actually tracking more or less exactly the same as last year. So there's some stability. There was, this is my understanding, it's pre my time here, but there was a peak in receiving applications after COVID. So I would imagine that this is representing going back to, I suppose, pre-COVID development application levels.
Thank you.
Councillor Fox, did you have your light on?
Just to point out a minor error on page 87, I was in attendance at the Audit Committee in August, on the 9th of August, and I've told Ms. Morton about this, so just a minor correction.
Thank you. Apologies for that. We will make sure that that is corrected. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor.
And then Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. Just in regards to the quarterly report, which is always very useful to see the breadth of projects, I just wonder the determination of that arrow on target and the ongoing seems to be kind of variable in regards to how they're measured. So say, for example, like if you look at the waste strategy one, like it feels like it is kind of ongoing, but yet it is on target because we're always having to educate, say, people around recycling. But yeah, and other things are, yeah, I just find that the variance in kind of measuring that as interesting. And I'm wondering if we're going to have a review and that continuous improvement kind of thing around the quarterly report.
Mr. Stewart.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor, and through you. So I take your point around the symbols we're using there. Yes, the arrow is intended for sort of those things that are not time-bound and sort of a continual items where the on-target things can often refer to things that are more project-based or have a deliverable at the end of them. In saying that, yes, the intent is that we are improving how we deliver our reporting and the work programming that goes in advance of it as well to make sure that we have something more user-friendly and useful when it comes to being able to actually monitor our performance here. One option that we have is whether or not we look to change the sort of software system that sits behind it as well. But that's just one consideration, and it's the practices that sit around how we plan and then deliver and report our work programs that is really key to it. So that is an area that's on what I call our transformation program, which is, I guess, underpinning some of the shifts that we're looking to make as an organisation.
Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. A question that may be difficult to answer based on the detail, but I'll do my best. It's to do with page 67. It's the active planning appeals section of our development services report, which is always very interesting. I don't know the people involved or what the issues are. 13 Christopher's Way, where the applicant wanted to had a proposal for a front fence adjoining the public walkway. It was refused and they appealed. I believe that would have gone to TASCAD. Is that correct?
Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor. I believe that's the case.
Okay, and then it was resolved by mediation. So it begs the question, if it was resolved by mediation, is that normally done because TASCAT says this can be resolved by mediation, or is it how do we get to that point?
Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor. Apologies, I'll clarify my previous answer. Mediation is required first before it going to hearing.
I hear you. Okay.
Yes. So
that makes
then
more sense.
Through that process, there may be some intermediate solution that meets both the scheme and the applicant's needs that will then be agreed on and reflected in the permit.
Fantastic. So they can appeal, and rather than going to the expense of TASCAT, we can try and mediate. Great, okay. That helps clarify my thinking, because I was trying to work out how is it, why did we go to mediation if TASCAT told us we should mediate? Why did they even bother? So you've answered my question. Thank you.
Councillor Dean.
Thanks, Mayor. Also on page 67, just in terms of the 60-day public exhibition period we're currently going through, is it possible at all to get a bit of an update of how things are tracking, I guess, from the public? I don't know if you can able to disclose, I guess, number of submissions or just general. The next meeting we have is on the 2nd, so it's right at the end of that period. So, yeah, any update would be muchly greatly appreciated.
Ms. Shakuti, you able to assist us with that? Thank you.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, I can. I'm just, if you don't mind, I'm just getting up the most recent update. Apologies, I've got a lot of updates about the scheme. Sorry, I'm unable to locate it. I can tell you the general themes, though. So we haven't had as high a level of interest as we anticipated. So we did, certainly for Bruny Island, with the information session there attended by about 80 people. And then the second information session estimated about 30 people. There's been a lot of appointments that Adrienne Stander has mostly been attending through the week, but, for example, not a high level of walk-ins in terms of coming to ask about the scheme. Last time it was around... Thank you. It's just popped up on my screen, which is very handy. So the other things that we've done as well is we've hosted dedicated information sessions with consultants and also reached out to all our community groups to hold sessions with them. I believe, please don't quote me on this, but we had about 20 representations last time I talked to Adrienne Stander. But we will expect that to increase as we near the end of the exhibition period.
Councillor Dean.
20, that seems obviously quite low. So I'm not sure if that's just because everyone's really happy with the new scheme or maybe they're not so much aware of it. But just in terms of, is it possible at this point give us some kind of indication? I mean, what the other councils that are of a similar kind of size, when they've pretty much all been through it, of our size, I mean, representation-wise, what was being talked about by the Commission, what they might expect in terms of representation number? Are we low, high? Admittedly, I know we're only just over halfway through.
Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor. I'm actually unsure of that information, but can follow that up. Feedback from our plan is that once they've, you know, had detailed conversations, particularly in the one-on-one appointments that we've been having, often the concerns, etc., are addressed in that, and property owners don't feel that they need to then put in a submission. So I think a lot of the concern is being addressed in those conversations rather than being documented in submissions.
Councillor
Dean. And just a last follow-up then. I guess one thing that I might have missed, is there going to be at the end of the 60-day period some kind of data, not just on the 20, so, well, it's going to be more than 20, but over the number of representations, but I guess the amount of work staff have put into in terms of how many one-on-ones they've had, how many emails they've responded to, so we can get a bit of perspective as to how that number relates to the bigger picture, I suppose.
Mr. Cootie.
Through you, Mayor. Absolutely, and we're tracking all of that information.
I think next I have Councillor Fox and then Councillor Antoli.
Thank you. Just a question on page 68 relating to 441 Tinderbox Road, which went to appeal and the hearing was vacated because all parties agreed it would be resolved by consent agreement to reduce the number of lots. Could we have an explanation of which lots were taken out or how many lots was it reduced by?
Yep, we'll need to take that on notice. Ms. Shikudi's indicated, so we'll get that to you. Yep. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor, and forgive my ignorance if it's been covered, but there's no Mayor report in this, Mayor activities report in this particular one.
No,
is that done every other month or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, when the CEO doesn't do his, so
okay,
you'll get
gotcha.
Mine in 2 weeks' time. Actually,
right.
Well, no, you won't because I won't be at that meeting. Anyway, you'll get one soon. We don't. If I'm not going to be here, we don't put it on the agenda because there's no point because, I wouldn't be here to be able to answer questions. So we'll defer that for the following meeting. Any further discussion on the appendices? I will put the recommendation then as moved by Councillor Cordova and seconded by Councillor Antoli. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Still on page 56, there were no notices of motion, and it takes us now confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. Looking for a mover and a seconder that we consider the four items that are listed there to go into closed session. Got a mover in Councillor Antoli and a seconder in Councillor Dean. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried. Thank you very much to members of our community who were here this evening. In accordance with Kingborough Council's meetings audio recordings guidelines policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease and open session of council adjourned at 6:56 p.m.